The reading is written in Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse 2, and is to be found on page 1184 in the Church Bible. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
As we start, let us pray. Almighty God, we come before you and ask that you would pour out your grace in mighty measures today, graciously speaking to us, graciously touching our hearts, graciously working in us, and graciously transforming our lives. Unfold your word and make it alive to us. Speak to us. Make us ready to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. You might find it helpful to have the passage in front of you from Colossians. It's on page 1184 in the Church Bibles, Colossians 4, beginning at verse 2. And so here we are, and the last in the series, What Do You Mean You're an Evangelical? Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at how the Bible and the cross should influence and change our lives. God's word can transform us, and living a cross-centered life means we know we are forgiven sinners, no longer living in condemnation. And now we're going to tackle the challenge of mission. I don't know about you, but the word mission has always been a bit scary to me. When I was little and we talked about missionaries, they were always off to far-flung parts of the world, parts that they didn't have all the creature comforts we had at home, or so it seemed, and that wasn't really for me. So I kind of thought, that's not my kind of idea of mission, and that's not the sort of mission we're looking at today. Today we're exploring living mission, here and now in our everyday lives. If you were here a few weeks ago when David talked to us about what mission means for us as evangelicals, you might remember that he said we recognise we have a responsibility to mission. And taking that responsibility is vital if people are going to be saved. But why are we called to mission? Well, if we look at the very end of Matthew's Gospel, it's there, Jesus' great commission: go and make disciples of all nations. We all have a duty to share the good news. And what's really great is we don't need to go to any far-flung part of the world. Our mission field is right here on our doorstep. Right here, there are so many people who do not know God, who've never heard about God. Perhaps in our homes, in our workplaces, at the school gates, at clubs we go to. Wherever we are every day, there are people who do not know God. We may be the only Christians those people ever meet. And if we don't share the good news with them, who will? We don't have to look far for opportunities to spread the good news, but it can be quite scary. Of the three aspects we've been looking at in this series, I think for me this was always the most scary one. I can happily live a life transformed by the Bible, a life knowing I'm a forgiven sinner, a life where I try to follow God's will. But do I really have to do something else? Something out there in the real world to tell people about Jesus? Well, the answer is yes. And what's great are these five verses in Colossians are really helpful and give us a really practical way to practice mission. It gives us two types of mission, and we're going to look at both of them: indirect mission and direct mission. And I also really want to encourage you this morning to step out of your comfort zone if you're not used to sharing your faith and maybe taking opportunities, but more on that a bit later. So first of all, let's look at indirect mission. Our passage starts with a clear instruction to pray. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul is writing this letter from prison, and the reason he is imprisoned is because of his faith, because he has been proclaiming the good news. But just look at his instructions. They're not, please pray for me to be released. He's not asking for the doors of the prison to be opened. He's asking for the doors to be opened to enable him to continue proclaiming the good news. Despite being in that hard place, Paul is not disheartened. He wants to keep on with his mission. He wants his fellow Christians to pray, not only that he has opportunities to spread the good news, but he wants them to pray that he proclaims it clearly, in a way that people understand and engages them. So how is that relevant to us today? How is Paul's instructions to the Colossians to pray for him applicable? Well, Paul reminds us at the start of the passage to devote ourselves to prayer. We must persevere in prayer that people hear the good news. Paul was a great Christian leader and an incredible proclaimer of the gospel. And yet he knew he still needed to be supported in prayer, to take opportunities to proclaim the gospel in a way that engaged those he was talking to. And we should do the same. We should pray for our church leaders who proclaim the gospel, those who stand at the front of church and preach. Pray that we take those opportunities to proclaim the good news, that our message brings God glory, that when we speak, we proclaim the message clearly. Indirect mission, praying for our church leaders, is something we can all do. And if you don't feel able to proclaim the gospel yourself, you want to be sure that if you invite someone to church, that's where they will hear the gospel, proclaimed and explained. Now, I don't want you to sit there thinking, well, I can do that. That can be my mission. Don't need to worry about anything else. Because there's another bit to this passage, and that's direct mission. And that's the really exciting bit. And that's going to be the rest of the focus of this talk. So let's turn and have a look at these last two verses. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I just love these verses. And carrying them around in our hearts gives a confidence not only to live a cross-centered, Bible-transformed life that we've been talking about, but it actually enables us to take it out into the world. So let's break it down and see how it helps us do that. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. If we live a life knowing we are forgiven sinners, live admitting when we get it wrong, not trying to cover up our mistakes, not judging or condemning others, that will mark us out as different to many people around us. We need to live the life that reflects what we believe as Christians. But we also need to be careful and wise. I used to work with someone who is a Christian, and he had his Bible out on his desk, which in the first instance you think, that's great, how great, he's so open. But if people went to speak to him, he would try and talk to them about the Bible. It had completely the opposite effect to what I'm sure he hoped it would. People called him a Bible basher. They didn't like to go and speak to him on his own because they knew they'd get cornered. We need wisdom to ensure we don't act in a way that turns people away, that ends up closing doors rather than opening them. And the next bit of the passage helps us understand how we should do that. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. No, it says, no, so that you may know how to answer everybody. It's not saying so that you know the answer for everybody. It doesn't matter if you don't always know the answer to people's questions. What Paul is saying is it's not just about how we act, but it's about what we say. And we need to look for opportunities to share our faith, not force it on people. We don't want to be seen as Bible bashers like my old colleague. But we do need to take care and take those opportunities so that we can engage people and talk in an interesting way. Salt adds flavour to food and it improves the taste. We need to make our conversations about God interesting so that people want to know more. Knowing our Bible will really help with that. But don't worry if you're not very good at remembering verses. I'm not. I think what's really key when you're talking to people is to tell them your story, what God means to you, what the Bible means to you, how God has helped you in your life. Be prepared to tell them your story and introduce the Bible in that way to them. As many of you know, I'm open about my faith at work. I didn't used to be, but now I regularly seem to get opportunities to share my faith, quite often in the pub. I'm not quite sure why I think it's a good idea after a glass of three of wine, but it seems to help. But I think it's great that people often ask me, and the same people will bring up the subject time and again. I've been told that they like the fact that I'm happy to talk about my faith, but that I don't ram it down their throats. And I guess the fact that they keep asking me questions means they think the conversation's quite interesting too. But I always wait for someone else to bring up the subject. I never introduce it. And over the years, I've grown in confidence to take opportunities and to lead the conversation once we've started more towards the Bible rather than just about my faith. A couple of weeks ago, a colleague said if they were going to be religious, they would choose Christianity, but that they didn't like the idea of having to do good things just to get a reward. So I took that opportunity and I explained that that's not what Christianity is about. I just very briefly talked that Jesus' death on the cross means I'm a forgiven sinner. I don't do good not to get a reward, but because I've chosen to live this way. I've chosen to follow Jesus and that I try to live according to his will. But that when I mess up, and I frequently do, that's fine, I can go back to Jesus and say sorry. But also it means when I do something right, I don't get a big tick in a book somewhere in a better place in heaven. That's not what being a Christian is about. It's simply knowing and accepting Jesus died for me on the cross for my sins. What Paul tells us about in this passage is that it's about waiting and being ready to take those opportunities and having the courage to do so. I don't always get it right. I remember one time a few years ago when I wasn't so open about my faith at work. I was still working up in Leeds and had been down to London to meet a government minister. And the next day, the chief executive phoned me to ask me about that meeting. And as I was really quite junior at the time, I thought I'd better let my boss know about the phone call. And when I went to see him and tell him, his response was something like, well, I don't know. One minute you're talking to a minister, the next the chief executive. Who's going to be calling you next? God? A perfect opportunity for me to say something like, well, I talk to him all the time. But no, I just smiled and walked away. So I don't always take those opportunities. But now, as I've grown in confidence, more often than not, I will. I've just moved jobs, still a civil servant, still in pensions. But on the Friday of the first week, my boss said, what are you doing at the weekend? So I replied, writing a sermon. Always a good opener, I find. He asked me what the sermon was about. So I told him in a nutshell the outline of this sermon. We then had a meeting with his boss, who happens to be a Christian as well. And he said to her, oh, Tony's writing a sermon this weekend. And she said, what's your text? So my poor new boss got the sermon in a nutshell and the Bible passage in about 5 minutes. Great opportunities. They arise in the most unexpected places. Now, I don't want you to sit there thinking, I've got this all sussed and I've got it right, and it's something that you couldn't do. It's something we can all do. And over the years, the more I do it, the easier it gets. Now, I've never known anyone come to Christ because of my conversations that I've had with them yet. But I'm not disheartened by that. I just love it if people want to know about Jesus. My favourite parable is that of the sower, and it's such a great encouragement to us as we think about mission. The sower has the easiest job in the world. He just throws the seed regardless, where it goes, where it lands. But what's important is he throws the seed. And as a result, it can land anywhere. And 3 out of the 4 times where it lands gives some positive result. However, on 2 of those occasions, the plants very quickly wither and die. It is only on fertile soil, soil that is ready to receive, soil that is then fed and nurtured, that the seed will put down firm, strong roots. And so it is for us with mission. We need to take those opportunities to sow the seeds and not worry about what happens to them. God will do the rest. As David said a few weeks ago, most people take small steps towards becoming a Christian. Your conversation with a mum at the school gates, a person at work, or a friend could enable them to take that small step in their long journey to becoming a Christian. A journey you may not see the end of in this life, but that should not stop us sowing the seeds, taking the opportunities to share the good news in whatever way we can. As I said, I really want to encourage you to step out of your comfort zone and be open about your faith if you aren't already. My first step was being honest when people asked me what I did at the weekend. Previously, I used to leave out that little detail of, oh, I went to church. So I consciously made the decision to tell people and see if they asked anything else. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. But I was always prepared to tell them what happened at church. Something about the sermon, something that what it meant to me. Just a few details. And from those simple conversations about what I did at the weekend, people have continued to ask questions. And that's when things get more detailed, and I guess that's why I'm able to move into more Bible-based discussions over the years. But I think my light bulb moment was when I realised that mission is personal. The thought of approaching a stranger and saying to someone, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus, is just something I could not do. But some years ago, someone gave me a phrase that I still today find really helpful in undertaking mission. Make a friend. Be a friend. Bring your friend to Christ. Make a friend. Be a friend. Bring your friend to Christ. My first job, our first job, is simply to make friends with people. I can do that. I love having friends. And then I just need to be a friend. Be there for them in the happy and sad times, through the tears and the laughter. Show them Christian love in action. I can do that too. And as the relationship grows and you get to know each other and the friendship develops, you find out more about the person, what makes them tick, what makes them who they are. And that's a natural point to take opportunities to introduce them to Christ, to share the gospel. Suddenly, the thought of sharing my faith and talking about it didn't seem so daunting. I just need to be alert to opportunities and be prepared to take them. Now, if you're sat there thinking, I really have not got the confidence to share the gospel, well, that's fine, but you don't get off the hook that easily. You can still take opportunities to talk to your friends about God, tell them about what happens in church, and then maybe invite them along. It doesn't have to be St. Pat's. I offer to take friends and colleagues to a carol service every year up in town. Or you can do what someone did in David's previous congregation and invite him along to go and talk to some people. This person invited David to the Reigate Working Man's Club to talk to the chaps there. It's about taking opportunities to enable people to hear the gospel. And if you're not yet a Christian, then why not talk to somebody who is? Ask them to share their faith with you. Ask them what it means to be a Christian. So what this passage in the Colossians encourages us to do is indirect and direct mission. And we have a duty to do both. As we've been reminded over the last few weeks, being an evangelical is a wonderful thing. We live our lives transformed by Jesus' death on the cross, lives influenced by God's word in the Bible, And we have a duty not to keep that to ourselves. Our friends, acquaintances and colleagues may not know Christ. They've been brought up in a world that has largely turned its back on him. You or I may be the only people, the only Christians they know. And just think, knowing how Christ has transformed your life, don't you want others to know that too? As we have discovered over the last few weeks, the Bible and the cross are key in shaping our lives, in making us the people of God that we are. And they give us the tools we need to be effective at mission. So next time an opportunity presents itself for you to share your faith, take it. Whether that's to simply invite someone along to a church service, to time out in an evening or to a social, or to get into a really nitty-gritty biblical discussion, just take it and see what happens. You might be surprised.